And as we come to the Word, as we come together as God's people, let's pray He'd speak powerfully to us. Our Lord and Father, we thank and praise You for the God You are, the God of grace and mercy, the God who in Your kindness chooses not only to work in us but through us. Father, we pray that as we come and hear Your voice, that You would speak powerfully to us, that You comfort us and unite us in You, that You change us by Your Spirit and Word to live more and more like Your Son, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen. Well, it is a special moment, isn't it, to gather together as one. If you haven't done it already, just pause, have a little quick look around. Yeah, those at the front don't realise just how wonderful it is to see those at the back, and you at the back have only seen the back of heads, and sometimes the front is nicer. What a delight, isn't it, across our congregations to get around and see who it is that God has connected us to. We're coming together across our six congregations that we might delight together in the Lord, to celebrate the fellowship He's created, to remember who we are in Him. Jesus' words, "You are the light of the world." David ministered in a previously neighbouring parish to mine. David had grown up in France. He was the child of American missionaries. And each morning as he headed to school, his father would tell him, "Remember who you are." And David knew what he meant, but he'd cheekily ask, "Well, who am I, Dad?" "You're a child of the King. You're a child of the King." He didn't mean himself. He wasn't claiming to be the King of France. No, David was being sent into the world reminded of grace. He was God's. His value and identity were in Christ. And remembering who he was key. It secured David to live for Jesus in a radically post-Christian culture. We need the same. We need that same kind of gospel preparation, don't we? As we come together, we need to hear Jesus' word. We need to have his gracious voice shape us. Because Christian living is not about becoming or our doing. It's not about what we'll achieve in our strength. That the power of Christian living is being what God has already made us. Remember who you are. Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Now, God's first act in creation was to bring light into the darkness. Light is life. And God alone lights the world. In John 8, remember Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And what's he doing there? Amongst other things, he's claiming divinity. "I am the light of the world." And with that in mind, listen again what Jesus says to you and me. "You are the light of the world." How remarkable to remember who we are. St. Michael's vision is, as we've seen, to see more disciples of Jesus shining as lights in our city. And our vision is about growth and change. You know, in two particular ways, you know, growing the number of disciples and growing all disciples in the likeness of Jesus. So as we want to see more people in the Illawarra calling Jesus Saviour and Lord, we can't stay a church this size. We want growth for the sake of the lost and for Christ's glory, and a little later on Mitch and Ella are going to be speaking about that. We also want every disciple shining brighter, each one of us, and every new person who joins us more clearly showing the true Jesus to those around, to our city. We want growth in loving what Jesus loves, hating what Jesus hates, and Matt and Zali are going to pick up on that aspect before we come in prayer. But this vision of growth and change is not our creation. It's what God has already done. It's what he's doing. In Jesus' voice, telling us who we are. It is the life that God creates as we remember, "You are the light of the world." And in calling us the light of the world, he's saying something about the world and about us and about God himself. So we're going to look at those three things. We're going to look at the world and why we must shine. We're going to look at us as disciples and what it is to shine. And we're going to look at God and how it is that we can shine. And so as we listen to God's voice, remember who you are. So first, why we must shine. The world is dark and decaying. So Jesus draws a line between his disciples and everyone else. The "you" of verse 13 as well as 14, just go a verse before, is emphatic. It's "you yourselves." And he's speaking to those who gathered at the mount. That is, like God spoke after the Exodus from Mount Sinai to his newly saved people, Jesus is now forming a new community, a new people of God. His disciples are the salt of the earth, light in the world. Earth and world, they're terms for the rest of humanity. It's not so much a description of the physical earth as the people, everyone who doesn't follow Christ. As Jesus is passing judgment on every not yet believer. Judgment, not condemnation. He's just stating the reality of their situation. See, in verse 13, if we're salt, unbelievers are decaying. The Old Testament spoke of salt in different ways. It's used in religious sacrifices, in food for taste, as a symbol of loyalty. It's used to purify. It's even used as a sign of judgment. But the main use, and culturally the main use of salt, was a preservative. No refrigeration, remember? You slaughtered a calf one night for dinner. You're not going to eat the whole cow, even as big as your family might be. You've got to salt the meat and make it last. Salt preserves what naturally rots. And Jesus implies, left to our own devices, humanity putrefies. That is like raw meat left on a bench, we decay. And Jesus says that is the state of every one outside of him, every unbeliever. Now, some of that decay is obvious, isn't it? The justified rage at gendered violence. Attention is rightly on the wickedness of men mistreating, dishonouring, violating women in our community. But some of that decay is less obvious. The subtle way that desire for comfort leaves us stressed and demanding, neglecting those around us, or the desire for control leaves us fearful and anxious and condemning those who won't fit with our plan. And Jesus is left unchecked without salt, Illawarra. The Illawarra is rotting. And if we're light, verse 14, the world is in darkness. Remember, this is pre-electricity. There's no 24/7 steel works that give, that comforting glow to Wollongong all the time. Doesn't matter what time of night or day, that nighttime glow. No. This is pre then. The dark of the countryside was really dark. It means that a city on a hill was attractive because there is safety. There is security. If you still go out to remote parts of the countryside, cloudy night, darkness can be so thick you can't see your hand in front of your face. And that deep moral, spiritual darkness is our world's default state. Unable to see ourselves clearly, let alone the best way for others. And this darkness means that even when the world sees wickedness like gendered violence, it can't be fully exposed or destroyed. It hides in the corners. And a darkness that leaves so many unaware of the destruction that their desire for comfort or control brings. That is, Jesus, his words judge the world. Not to condemn, he's showing his disciples how much their neighbours need them. The Illawarra is so beautiful. We have so many nice friends, we can forget the reality that our friends are in the dark and they are decaying. The Illawarra needs us, St. Michael's. Luther said, salt is not salt for itself. It cannot salt itself. Salt's already salt. It exists for others. God made us the salt for the benefit of those outside the church. Verse 14, a city cannot be hidden. Verse 15, a lamp is not covered. The Illawarra needs us. They need us to shine. Remember who you are. Secondly, a truth about us. What it is to shine. Disciples are light and life in the community. As salt and light are images of difference and impact. Verse 13, salt that loses its saltiness is only fit to be thrown out. Jesus uses that expression thrown out three times in Matthew's gospel about eternal suffering. So in chapter 8 and in chapter 22 and chapter 25, Jesus links that being thrown out to their place of darkness and gnashing of teeth. As a disciple, no different from the unbeliever, is not only useless, they are in eternal danger. Literally, they've power for nothing but to be trampled. Salt and light are different. Distinct in how we live and what we say. And so a little before, in verse 3 through 12, Jesus has just explained what is the life of blessing. The Beatitudes, they are not heaven's entry test. They describe the character and loves of those already in God's kingdom. They describe salt and light in practice. Those who know their spiritual poverty and therefore hunger for the righteousness that Christ gives. Those who, by connecting to Jesus, are merciful and pure and peacemaking. Those who are glad to be hated, if it means they get identified with Jesus, confused with him. The irony of what Jesus lays out here is that the world is saved in verse 13 and 14 by those it persecuted in verse 10 to 12. Lloyd-Jones describes it, it's when the church is absolutely different from the world, she invariably attracts it. The world is made to listen to its message, though they may hate it at first. As those around us, those in decay and darkness, we don't need to become like them. They will listen because we are different, not despite of us being different. And it's not just that we live differently, we proclaim good news. In Isaiah 49, being a light for the Gentiles is about proclaiming the truth that there is one holy God. You know, our difference as salt and light is both word and works. It is deed and creed. They work together hand in hand. As salt and light, therefore, if we are distinct, we will impact. Verse 15, we give light to everyone, all, not just each other. Verse 16, our words and works are visible to those who are not yet disciples, that God might be glorified. As Stott sums it beautifully, he goes, Jesus goes from the distinction to the influence. Like salt in a putrefying meat, Christians are to hinder social decay. Like light in prevailing darkness, Christians are to illumine society, show a better way. It is very important to grasp these two stages in the teaching of Jesus. Most Christians, he says, accept there's a distinction between the Christian church and the non-Christian world. God's new society, the church, is as different from the old society as salt from rotting meat and light from darkness. But he warns there are too many who stop there, too many people whose whole preoccupation is with survival, that is, maintaining the distinction. The salt must retain its saltiness, they say. It must not be contaminated. The light must retain its brightness. It mustn't be smothered by the darkness. That's true, but it's merely survival. Salt and light are not just a bit different from their environment. They are to have a powerful influence on their environment. The salt is to be rubbed into meat in order to stop the rot. The light is to shine into the darkness. It is to be set upon a lampstand. It is to give light to the environment. That is an influence on the environment quite different from mere survival. See what Stott's saying? See what Jesus is saying? Remembering who we are? Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who lost his life taking on the nation's corruption, he said it with a little more punch. He said, flight into the invisible is a denial of the call. A community of Jesus which seeks to hide itself has ceased to follow him. As we, you, I, us gather together, we are God's agents to bring light and life to our city. It's not enough for us to be different in this building or our regular buildings, different on a Sunday. We're to be different in the community, different on the Monday. And because that's who we are, not who we need to become, we naturally give light. This is just going to happen. As we mourn sin, we're pure in heart, we are being light. God is giving light is simply what we do. You know, we shine in actions. People in our church regularly visit the sick and the aged and the housebound. You know, a warden stepped back that he might from that role that he might invest more as president of a local surf life saving, as so many in our church do serve in community groups. You know, we invest in outward facing ministries, you know, playtime for children and their carers, a Jesus Club for adults with intellectual disability, mobile community pantry for those in financial, physical need, English classes for those who God has brought to us from around the world. We shine in action. We shine in words too. Now we proclaim the truth about Jesus and humanity, about sin and righteousness, about life and death and eternity. We speak the gospel. We share the light of life. We invite people to explore Jesus. A friend gave his grandfather's eulogy. A funeral service where, sadly, the truth was not spoken. And so in his eulogy, he did. And he wrote to me, he said, I did as you said, proclaim real hope in Jesus. It was a scary and controversial thing to do, but you've trained me better than to worry about what other people think. Now that's what light does, isn't it? Yeah, that shines words of truth into the darkest places, and that is what we do. Remember who you are. And thirdly, lastly, something about God, how it is that we can shine. God unites his disciples. So verse 16, the ultimate goal of our good deeds is the glory of our Father in heaven. This is the first of 44 times in Matthew that God is called the believer's Father. Not just the God out there, but Father. And it's actually, for us, kind of normal, but revolutionary. This is the new way that God is relating to his people, this new constitution at the second mountain. A revolutionary idea. We get to call the Holy God what Jesus himself gets to call him. We are united to him in such a way, the same way that Jesus is. It follows on from Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, they'll be called sons of God. You know, they're peacemakers, they'll be called sons of God because they're imitating God. Even earlier in Matthew, the devil challenges Jesus' sonship, and it's not about biology, it's about his imitation. Is he going to be like the Father in heaven? Imitation that springs from love. And the Father unites us as disciples to him in the same way that Jesus is united to him. And that union is why Jesus can say both, I am and you are the light of the world, because we are so connected to him. And so our public good deeds are going to draw attention not to us, but to the family likeness. It's going to draw attention to God who is at work in us. We are distinct from the world when in our complete trust in God's ways shows us to be different and distinct. We don't do what we think is good. We do what God tells us. And when we buy in completely to our Father's plans and his purposes and patterns, then all the credit will go to him. And the credit goes to him, because the privilege to call the Holy God Father is not earned, it is a costly gift. Now, when Jesus calls you salt of the earth, it was because he himself was thrown out and trampled on. Now, Matthew 27, Jesus hangs on the cross and darkness covers the land, a symbol of God's judgment. And Jesus cries out, my God, why have you forsaken me? That is, the true light of the world was extinguished, smothered, snuffed out, so that he can say to you and me, you are the light of the world. It's a costly gift. We don't shine through our effort. Christian living is not about us becoming and doing. It's not about what you'll achieve in your strength. It's that reading we had in Philippians. We work out our salvation in fear and trembling, for it is God who works in us to achieve his good purpose. See, the power of Christian living is being what God has already made us. You know, how is it that we're going to shine? We're going to shine brighter by knowing him more deeply, more profoundly. We shine by drawing closer to Christ in word and prayer, experiencing our theology. You know, remembering who you are in Jesus. This city is going to be changed by God's work through us. All glory to him. So each day, David headed to school with his father's voice. Remember who you are. And that secured him. And as we head into a week, into the world, listen to Jesus' voice. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. Let us pray. Our Lord and Father, we thank you so much for your Son, the Lord Jesus, who out of his kindness, his mercy, his grace, his love, was cast out and trampled, was snuffed out and extinguished at the cross, that he might make us light and life. Father, we pray that you be kind enough to remind us each day, each moment, who we are in Christ, all he has done for us, that we'd remember who we are, that it would make a difference in this community, that you draw others to know the saving work of Christ, and all the more that he might be glorified as he deserves to be. In his name we pray. Amen.